The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
We welcome you back. Final hour has arrived, and what an incredible conversation with Timmy B. We appreciate that very, very much, and let's work our way back to the calls. And Kevin is up next in North Carolina. Hello, Kevin. You're on the air. Go right ahead. Kevin, you there?
I'm here.
Okay, go right ahead, Kevin.
Yeah, Paul, thanks for letting me visit with you again.
Thank you very much. I am doing great. Thanks a lot.
Did enjoy you kibitzing with Tim there. Very informative. You know, I'm going to ask you the same question I was going to ask both of you a couple minutes ago, in that I understand that the colleges, obviously, the Power Five colleges want to, you know, keep as many games in conference, obviously, exclusively playing conference games, because, you know, they have more money. They can obviously test and test people 4 times a week as opposed to the poor schools testing them 2 times a week. And they're keeping everything in-house and the same criteria of test. But getting to those games in Atlanta, to me, were against everything both conferences, the ACC and the SEC, were trying to accomplish in keeping control of everything. If you're in downtown Atlanta with the virus raging and you got the staff at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium there, you can't control that. I kind of agree. Those games were on the board, okay? What does irk me that the SEC network, the ACC network, and ESPN lost a lot of inventory, and everybody lost a lot of money. And since 5 of those 6 games that we talk about, the Rivalry 4 games and Mississippi State at NC State and Arkansas at Notre Dame, were on 5 of those 6 games were on ACC home fields. So I kind of get the logic of not having it at a separate off-campus site, but it does hurt me that FSU and all those rivalry games are not going to be played. It really, really does, and I think that's a real black eye. And I think there's a lot of people very upset about it, man. I mean, I can't see any logic, because the SEC could have had another, 10 schools playing somebody if they would have gone to a 10+1 like the ACC. What do you think?
Yeah, I do not know even now, 4 days later, exactly what went into that decision. I mean, there's a lot of chatter out there about tension between the two leagues, about once the ACC went to Notre Dame, all bets were off. I really don't know. Yeah. And I say that having spoken to the commissioner and other people. I still don't know in any great detail, but I mean, the one thing the SEC has done is they have left themselves very little room for error in the event of outbreaks.
One more, Paul, if I could. With everybody wanting to play their own conference games on their campuses, what bowl games? I mean, you know, if they use the same logic that they didn't want to play in Mercedes-Benz, those 3 games, actually, Florida State was supposed to play West Virginia. What bowl games are going to be left to play?
Well,
Kevin,
I think you've just opened Pandora's box there. assuming that we get all that all the way through, I mean, bowl games are going to be underwater, and because bowl games are built on what? Tourism to cities, people that want to travel, enthusiasm from your fan bases. We have no earthly idea whether pick your bowl game, whether anyone's going to be able to go to a bowl game. So if you can't have a crowd, why are you traveling to Atlanta or New Orleans or Montgomery, Alabama, or Charlotte or Jacksonville or anywhere else?
Right, and I think one's been canceled already. I think it's called the Red Box Bowl. It was in San Francisco area, Big Ten and Pac-12. Right, that's gone.
Well, and Kevin, that hasn't even started yet. I mean, bowl games are essentially television events for one network in particular, and I don't see how beyond that, it's going to work very well. But again, that is so far down the road. And I know if you're running a bowl game, it's not very far down the road. But I think that's the least of the problems of these college presidents and commissioners right now.
All right, man. Hang in there. Stay safe. And rock and roll, hoochie coo. Okay.
Thank you. Great to hear from you. Really do appreciate it. Lynn is up next. Lynn, go right ahead. You're on the air. Appreciate the call. Hey, Lynn.
Hey, how are you?
I am doing great. Thank you for giving us a ring.
Well, Paul, the one thing that I haven't heard, and I don't get to always listen to your whole show, but the word that I'm not, there's a terminology involved with these football players that want to opt out, but have a voice. And for me, knowing that there's a whole movement about college football players getting paid, is anybody using the word union?
I have not heard that, no.
Well, to me, that's what it is. If you want to be paid and you want to have a spokesman and you want to keep your scholarships, but you don't want to play, and you're going to have somebody that's going to represent you and they're going to talk in a legal sense for you, isn't that a union?
Well, there is Ramogi Huma is a former UCLA football player who tried to organize Northwestern about 6 years ago into a union, and you know he is a head of an organization that represents players. I don't know where they are right now. I mean, we are now 24 hours into this story, and it doesn't look like it's picked up tremendous steam. It may still, but. Right now, I think this is going to be an impossible task because one or two of the demands simply cannot be met. So does a representative of the players sit down with the commissioners? Probably. How far do they get? No idea.
Well, I just think it's an interesting topic. And I think that it's just, you know, it's always a forbidden word to say union. But there's a whole lot of kids out there that think they should be paid. The $150,000 scholarship is not enough.
Well, that's true. And I things are changing in college football. Whether they're changing quick enough for the players, I do not know. Hey, thanks for the call. I think I said I do not know about four times in that, but that's just where we are. Mike is up next. Hey, Mike, go right ahead.
Hi, Paul.
Good afternoon.
How you hear me?
I'm hearing you, yes.
Hey, buddy, look, I've been around you my whole life. I was born in Bessemer, Alabama in 56. You know, listening to all y'all this, that, and, you know, jocks and all this kind of stuff. And,
sure.
But I'm just listening to Tim, and Tim's telling the truth about all this stuff. Just like the name of Steph Matthew, the name is Jersey. That only be what's on, you know, just like Alabama, Auburn, whatever, let you put on that jersey. And that's what not people understanding about all this stuff. You know what I'm saying? It's not going to be none of them neon light advertisement and all that stuff. And I just get to laughing about all this stuff. Another thing, too, I know you was talking the other day that your wife's from Birmingham, too. And y'all talk about might move back to Birmingham, and I got to laughing because I got a condo over here in Orange Beach, and you was talking about with her coming down back to Birmingham, if she does, that y'all might get a condo over in Gulf Shores and all that kind of stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, Paul, I was born in 56 just like y'all, and I've been around all this stuff, jocks and, you know, all Alabama. You know what I'm saying, buddy?
I do. Well, don't get rid of that condo yet, Mike. Hey, thanks for the call. Really do appreciate it. We have to break a break here. You be safe, too. Appreciate the offer. More to come. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. We are back with more after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
And we welcome you back. Glad you're here. And Eugene is up next. Hey, Eugene, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. Thank you for taking my call today.
Thank you.
Sure, I'm enjoying your show. I really enjoyed the conversation you had with Tim Brando, and it reminded me of a funny story I wanted to share with you. I wouldn't be surprised if you haven't already heard it yourself, but let's see if I can describe it in a discreet way here. You know, our friend Louis Grizzard was really adept at playing practical jokes, and he learned how to do that well when he was the editor of the Red and Black at the University of Georgia, and he used to like to tell a story about how he snuck a headline by, he was the associate editor, I think, at the time, he snuck a headline by the editor on a Friday evening that was for the paper that was going to come out Saturday morning before the ball game. And the game they were playing, the Bulldogs were playing, was against the South Carolina Gamecocks. And Georgia had a player who was very fine, a defensive star, whose name was Happy Dix, and he is now a physician in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and quite successful. And he was injured at the time and was not going to be able to play in the game. So Lewis designed a headline that will live, as Coach Dooley has said, in infamy. And I want you to use your imagination, please, Paul, and let me put this together for you. The headline he came up with was "Dogs to Face," an abbreviation of the South Carolina Gamecocks, without their fine player Happy Dix. But there was an abbreviation.
I'm well aware they're called what they're called. I'd heard the story. I knew Lewis fairly well, Eugene, and did an interview with him once, and I'm pretty sure he told that story. Lewis Grizzard, as great a writer as he was a better storyteller. And
that's true.
I know books have been written about him, and I think I've interviewed his wife about one of his wives. But Lewis is really deserving of a documentary. I mean, he's such a special person.
Amen, Paul. Amen. I knew you would appreciate that story. I wanted to run it by you.
That's a classic, and you made me miss Lewis even more. Thanks, Eugene. Thanks for sharing that.
Thank you, Paul. Bye bye.
Yeah, I really appreciate that. Another guy that will miss when he's gone is Squirrel. Squirrel, go right ahead.
Didn't Lewis Grizzard's article run in the New Sentinel, Knoxville News Sentinel, back in the 70s?
Yeah, I mean, Lewis wrote for the Atlanta paper, but his column ran all over the place. I mean, at one time, nobody was bigger in the South than Lewis Grizzard.
Oh, I remember. He had several books out. He was a real funny guy, you know. Did that guy offer you a condo in Orange Beach?
We never discussed price, and I must say I've never owned a second house. And there's a reason I've never owned a second house, Coral, because I'm still not finished paying for the first one.
Paying for the first one. Well, I asked you a couple years ago if you remember what kind of vacation property you owned, and I actually encouraged you to buy a condo down there, if you recall.
You did, I've had others encourage me, but we're very we're two people from.
Hey, you can't take it with you, Paul.
Lower middle class, and I've already bequeathed my money.
You're married to a doctor, and you can't. You're rich, and
I have. I talked to a lawyer today. All my money's going to Jim from Tuscaloosa.
Well, it should go to Jim because he needs it. And any word on Miss Drew? Have you heard on Miss Drew, the lady trying to reach 100 in July?
I have not. There's a lady in a nursing home in North Birmingham, and we've heard from her daughter, and she was sick, and then she was getting better, but I hope she made it, or will make it. I think I lost Squirrel there, but anyway, it was a good conversation. We'll get Squirrel back. He knows how to get us here. Let's check in with Patrick. In Rhode Island, a small state, but a great state. I've been there a few times.
Hey, Paul, how you doing? Good to talk to you again.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, so I saw some tweets regarding Kadarius Toney and Jacob Copeland thinking about opting out of 2020. I don't know when the opt-out date is, but if you know when the opt-out date is, that's fine, but...
Yeah, the NFL has an opt-out date. I'm not sure college football does have one. And by the way, Patrick, I have not heard that. I'll certainly check. But
According to Kadarius Toney and Copeland's Twitter, I think Copeland or Toney tweeted first. I can't remember which one, but they tweeted that that one of them was going to opt out. And Kadarius Toney, I think, was like, "Oh, I have to agree." You know what I mean? So you'll have to check that out on Twitter, see what happens.
I will. That would be a pretty important story. Well, thank you for suggesting that.
No problem, Paul. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Patrick. Nice of you to call. And let's check in next with Jared in Atlanta. Jared, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Hey, first-time caller. Got a quick COVID-19 question for you as it relates to football compared to all the other major sports out there, baseball, basketball, soccer, and even tennis and golf. I've been more concern for football players than the other sports because some of the major risk factors for COVID includes obesity, and in no way am I saying that football players are out of shape or slow. They can probably tackle me down from 100 yards away quite easily. But they are larger. The offensive line, these guys are bred from birth to be large and, big guys. And I just worry when football teams get it compared to baseball and basketball teams that there's going to be more risk, more long-term effects, possibly even, something more severe. I'm curious. I don't hear anyone talking about that. Do you think there's a difference, or am I just...
I most certainly do, Jared, and... there's a player at Indiana right now who's struggling as a result of this, and I know the perception, and I know the data, but football players have a lot of issues. In addition to linemen being extremely large, and there's no getting around to be a lineman, you have to weigh in the 300s, often higher, well into the 300s. It's common sense that it puts a great strain on your heart as well. And it doesn't happen often, but you see an occasional player who has an undiagnosed heart condition that struggles, especially in 95 or 100 degree weather during two-a-days. So I think it is something to be concerned about. Most college football players are going to be fine, but... it will happen, and I think it has happened already.
Well, I appreciate that. Thanks for your time.
Thank you. Nice of you to call. Let's continue. Mark is up next. Hey, Mark, go right ahead. You're on the air from Florida.
Yes.
Hey, Mark, you're on the air.
Fantastic. I was going to ask Feinbaum if he knew that Louis Grizzard worked with me, and he was a sports writer at the Athens Banner-Herald newspaper. He was a sports writer.
Well, Mark, I did know that he got a start there, so tell me about your relationship.
Well, I worked at the Athens Banner and Herald. I worked in the circulation department, and Louis Cazard was a sports writer, and every afternoon he would come down the side steps and talk to us, and that's how I knew Louis Cazard.
Well, I can assure you, you had an entertaining interlude, because Louis is, to this day, one of the funniest people I've ever met. Jim is up next. Jim, thank you for the call, and good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. Great to hear from you. I am a former collegiate athlete, played football for a year at a small college, and I don't really agree with everything that they're trying to, you know, ask for the moon out there. I agree with giving a stipend, because, you know, a lot of these players that I played with don't have a lot of the means to go buy a pizza at Domino's on the weekend. But, no, I don't think that – I don't want it to get into pro, you know, something where we're – this is like a pro sport now. But that's just my opinion. Real quick, if you don't mind, I do want to say my favorite Paul Feinbaum moment was – I've always wanted to tell you my memory – 1996, I grew up a Mississippi State fan, then went to UGA, but my mom called in for the Final Four. You made a comment that if Mississippi State won the Final Four, you would crawl to New York to help them cut down the net. And my mom called in and was in her Tammy-esque moment, said she would be on the sidelines walking with you as you crawled to New York.
And that is, and by the way, that was,
you know, you were correct.
That was a Final Four. I think Kentucky won, did they not?
I'm pretty sure,
I'm pretty sure Kentucky won that year. I can't remember who was Richard Williams the coach at Mississippi State then? I'm trying to remember. I think he was.
He was.
Yeah. It was an amazing run. I didn't have much confidence in State, though, but that was a very exciting time.
Yeah, just always appreciate it. Thanks, Paul. Have a great one.
Thank you very much. That's a funny story. Okay, Judy is here, the lady with the mother. Judy, let me – so how are we? Good afternoon.
Oh, I'm doing fine, Mr. Paul. How are you?
I am doing great. So tell me about your mom.
My mom, Mr. Paul, I heard what Squirrel said, and I appreciate him remembering my mom's name. But anyway, she's doing fine. Her birthday was July 19th, and she's still doing fine. However, I got a call a couple of weeks ago that the nursing home that she was in Southside was covered with COVID.
Oh, my goodness.
And they tested everybody, 100-something people, including the workers, and she was one of eight that tested negative.
Oh my.
She did not have it, but she had. I had to find another nursing home for her, and I found one in Hoover. Now I get a call today that they have COVID really bad, and they're going to move her back to the nursing home she was in before, because it has been totally cleaned out, so they say. So that just goes to show you how scary this stuff is.
Well, I'm sorry, Judy, but she did. She's now 100. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. She turned 100 July 19th.
Well, that is fantastic news.
I want to tell you something really funny, though. I sent her four presents in the mail for her birthday. And you know what she said? I thought you would send me a picture of Mr. Paul for my birthday. Can you believe it? I said, Mom, I didn't think about that. She said, well, I would think that that's what you would know I would want. Well, I thought, well, I'll mention it to him. I didn't tell her that, because she holds my feet to the fire. But do you ever give out pictures?
Yeah, I tell you what, Judy, let me put you on hold, and I'm going to hook you up with Dan, and we'll make sure that your mom gets a belated birthday present. How about that?
Okay. Listen, she's healthy and happy and laughing and talking, and she's just great.
Okay.
So I just wanted to let you know. Thank you.
Don't go anywhere. Dan's going to get your information. Thank you. Wow. That is fantastic.
Thank you.
You got it. We'll take a break. 30 minutes to go on this Monday afternoon.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
And we welcome you back here on a Monday afternoon, and glad to have you. And let's try to get some more calls here and check in with Jordan in Panama City, Florida. Hey, Jordan, you're on the air.
Hi, Paul. Good afternoon. First time
caller. Good afternoon. Thank you.
Wanted to ask you, now that we have a, you know, I'm using quotations here, definite football schedule for this fall, when might they do SEC Media Days?
That's a good question. I don't know. I know they were originally it was supposed to be in July, then it got pushed back, and they got pushed back again. I would think it would be any time if they're going to have it. And a lot of the conferences are not having it. I know. I think some have, some haven't. But let me find out, and I'll try to get you an answer. But I don't know right now.
Okay. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you very much. It's a good question, though, and it's a legitimately good question. Mohawk is in Colorado. Mohawk, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. Happy Monday.
Hey there.
I want to talk about Florida real quick. I've been observing what's going on down there in the neck of the woods, and, you know, all the media heads down there in the southeast talk about Florida like it's the next big thing. But honestly, I bet you there's a little powwow like they're having in the Pac-12 happening in the Florida's coaching office, trying to get the petitioning the SEC for Arkansas and Ole Miss or Mississippi State. I guarantee you that's what's going on down there. I think they're scared of them Bulldogs, to be honest with you. And it's a make or break year for Dan Mullen. And it's very interesting and intriguing what's happening in that part of the conference.
How could you, Mohawk? Why would it be a make or break year for Dan Mullen after what he's done?
To be honest with you, Paul, I think what he's done is comparable to what Tennessee did last year. I think.
Are you
that,
kidding me? I have to tell you that it's really worth arguing over, but that's one of the. The fact that Dan Mullen is under the gun would be one of the silliest things I've heard on the show in a long time.
Now, I'm not saying he's under the gun, but I'm saying he may be under the gun.
You just got through saying make or break. I mean, what's the difference?
You're right. I'll give you that. I may have misspoken. Let me rephrase that a little bit. I think he's under a lot more pressure with it being year three and where the Florida fan base expects him to be at this point, if that makes more sense or is more clear.
Well, listen, I think Dan Mullen's been pretty remarkable. I think if he goes another year without getting to Atlanta, I think the fans are pretty happy in the direction of the program. But anyway, Joanne is up next. Hey, Joanne, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, how are you this afternoon?
I am doing well. Thank you.
I'm so glad to see all the different people that you talked to. I enjoyed last week or Friday when you had parents on and calling in and hearing from all the commissioners. I wanted to ask you, is there any continuity with the preventive measures by conference or university, or are they all just winging it by state, or how is that going, or do you even know?
I'm sorry, Joanne, in terms of what?
The COVID testing.
Oh,
and the prevention that they're, you know, trying to keep the players safe. Is there any continuity, like, by conference? Are they all testing every day, or is this school testing every day?
There really is not a lot of, well, let me back up. I think there's an NCAA protocol, and I don't know if it's mandatory, but there are guidelines that universities are being given to follow, is what I'm trying to say.
Okay, well, hopefully they're following them. I also wanted a clarification on the Pac-12 student demands. The 50% profit to be paid out, is that to go to the actual student athletes or to spread it over the other athletic programs and all of the athletes, or only the athletic programs that are making
money?
Yeah,
I think that's the problem with this. We're talking about young people putting things out. I don't think there's a lot of specificity here.
Okay.
And besides, it's not even possible to share money with student athletes. It's impossible.
Right.
You cannot do it without endangering your program with the federal government because of Title IX.
Yeah. Well, and I knew that when my daughter went for some recruiting trips, one of the coaches at an elite football school basically said that football paid for her sport. So, you know, here's your full scholarship.
Well, football pays for pretty much every sport.
Right.
There are scant few programs in basketball that make a significant amount of money. It's easy, Joanne, to figure out who they are. And other than that, college baseball makes a little bit of money, but it's also very expensive with all the new stadiums and all the travel. So it's primarily a college football world, and therefore some people think, well, if as long as football pays the bills, it's okay to have football even without consistent protocols and testing.
Right, which that's sort of a sad state of affairs. Have you heard anything about Little League sports that have been ongoing all summer? Or
I've heard some travel baseball teams that have continued to play. I've heard that has primarily been what I've heard, but not to any great degree, no.
Right. Well, I spoke to a customer service person, and her child was participating and had been since May in basketball and was training, doing some cross-country stuff. So I just wondered if I had missed the headlines on the Little League sports.
The Little League World Series, which would be starting probably around now, was called off. Pretty much everything was called off. So
right, yeah.
I think the bigger issue is what's going to happen over the next few weeks in relation to high school sports. In
right.
some places, I know where I live, they're practicing, but they're not contacting. In other places, I know in Alabama, they're having relatively normal operation. I'm not sure what the Tennessee protocol is right now, but it varies from state to state.
Yeah, well, I know in Virginia, I think they pretty much canceled it there. So
yeah, and then some states will and some will not. I think it's like everything else. It really depends on the political makeup of the state, the governor, and the appetite for risk. And I'm not saying risk in terms of your life. Well, maybe I am, but but you know, there's a much different level of risk in the country depending on where you live.
Absolutely. All right. Well, I appreciate your time, and I wanted to also add that I'm sort of missing Golic and Wingo. I loved Mike Golic, and when Mike and Mike were together, and I watch Greeny still in the mornings too. So I start the day on.
Yeah, you know, it was funny that I was on Golic and Wingo early today, and it's still called Golic and Wingo for another week. And it was unusual being on there without them. You know, Golic to me is somebody that. I got to know very well. I did their show every week, and he was a character that I don't think ever got the proper credit. He was critically important to that program, and just a lovable guy. I'm really going to miss him. Hey, thanks for the call. Really appreciate it. We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.